Bible text is taken from Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 33. If your Bible, please turn to Genesis chapter 26. We shall read from verses 12 to 33, and thereafter I shall invite Pastor to give us God's word. Speak to reader, please.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. May God bless those who read and obey his word.
There are many things in life that can make us frightened, that can distract us, that can hurt us. And so naturally, we are frightened. We are concerned about the future. God's children of light, sometimes when we are faced with such challenges, understandably because of our human nature, of our frailties, our many weaknesses, understandably sometimes, we might even consider doing things that displease the Lord just to solve our problems. So it is very difficult to stay faithful in hard times. It's very difficult to stay faithful in hard times, and hard times are really hard because life is a very difficult race to run. But we want to thank God that we are given many precious promises, that when we trust God, our things will be all right. When we trust God, things will work out fine. We want to study Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 33. Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 33. And before we look at this passage proper, I want to go back a little bit and look at the background of this passage. So let me just look at the background to this passage. Chapter 26, verse 1. "Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared," and just as I've said many times, the Lord in uppercase L-O-R-D means Yahweh. So Yahweh appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, live in the land where I tell you to live." Just more background, Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham was the great ancestor of the nation of Israel. So at that time, Isaac was still a foreigner, a stranger, not a citizen of that land. So he was living in rented spaces, rented land. This is the land. So what happened in the land? So there was a famine. What's a famine? A famine is something like that. So you can die in famine because there's no food yet. And the people are an agrarian society, meaning that they plant crops. They don't plant rice. They plant barley, wheat, grapes, olive, fig trees, fig fruits for a living. So they are agrarian society, means they plant crops. So they also rear cows, bulls, sheep, goats, donkeys, no horses, I think, for a living. So they are farmers. So the land is dry, and that means there's no food. So there was famine in where? In the land. And the land, as I said just now, refers to the promised land, the land of Israel, or in other words, the land of Canaan. So this land is presently occupied by the natives. So this land does not belong to Isaac. Isaac is just renting a piece of land. He's just in the land, a stranger, a foreigner. So there was a famine in the land. And God in verse 2, Yahweh in verse 2, "The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. And where's Egypt? Egypt, so the Israel is here. So just a little bit south about, if you travel with your family, you walk, you take about several weeks, perhaps 2-3 weeks to reach Egypt. Egypt means Africa. So here's Israel, Egypt, and above is Lebanon, and there is a war zone today. And beside it is Jordan, and then you have Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, Iran, etc. Okay, so the Middle East. So I'm talking about Middle East. So there was famine in the Promised Land. This land does not belong to Isaac. He's a foreigner. And Egypt, just a little bit south, about 2 weeks walk, there is no famine. And God tells Isaac, there's famine in the land, but there's no famine in Egypt. He tells them, but do not go down to Egypt. Do not go down to Egypt. Now, why would anybody tell Isaac to do that? There's famine in the land, in Israel, there's famine in Egypt further south. No famine in Egypt further south. It's prosperous. So naturally, you would want to travel south. And Isaac was intending to travel south to avoid the famine, to survive, right? And yet God tells him, live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land of famine. It's bewildering. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody do that? So God tells Isaac to continue to live in a land of famine. Let me just make an application here so that you know how this passage applies to your life. The promised land in the New Testament refers often to the new life in Christ. Means after you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive eternal life. In the Old Testament, the people receive a piece of land, a good land, where they can enjoy good life, the life of God, worship God, etc. But this promised land represents the eternal life in the New Testament. So today, the promised land for us will be a new life in Christ, a holy life, a life that you walk with Christ, you trust Christ. And we don't have a piece of land. We don't have a piece of land. But this land represents, it's a figure, represents the new life with Christ. And to live in the promised land means you continue to walk with God, trust God, live the new life, live the holy life, avoid sin. And if for Isaac to leave the promised land would be for us to stop walking with God, and then you live a sinful life, and when you face problems, you resort to sinful methods to solve problems. For example, if you are faced, did you break the vase? No, I didn't. Then you don't get scolded by your father or by your boss. Right? You tell lies to avoid some problems. Or you bully the weak. Yeah, you need something. So this person is very easy to tia. So I bully him, then I can get the things I want. Everybody has to survive what? Big fish eat small fish. Small fish eat small fish. Natural. What? Dog eat dog. It's natural. What? So we bully the weak to survive. No choice. You are just a sacrificial pawn. It's not that I like you. I know it's unpleasant, but no choice. I've got to sacrifice you. So you bully the weak. Or there's only one position, one managerial position in the company, but there are two persons who are potential candidates. So you backstab the other person so that you can get promoted. Backstabbing happens all the time in companies. So you use sinful ways to survive. You resort to sinful ways to survive. So that is to leave the promised land, to go away from the promised land. And God tells Isaac, you don't need to do that. You do not need to resort to sinful ways to solve life's problem. See why? And this is what God tells him. Stay in this land for a little while, in verse 3, stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands. I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. So God tells Isaac, you don't need to leave the promised land. Why? Because I will take care of you. What will I do for you? I will bless you. And how will God bless Isaac? When there's famine, people die. But you don't worry, I will make you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Having a big population is important. You see, what's so great about having a big population, a big family? Singapore is trying to raise the population, right? Because if you have a big population, there are many people, then hawker center food, for example, this stall, then everybody will buy from this stall. Everybody has business. And because everybody buys from the stall, then you can provide better food, more creative. So instead of having 5 types of food, now I can have 10 types of food because many people buy from my stall of the money, of the capital, to provide better things. So a big population is important. And but having a big population, many people, you also need a piece of land, right? So God also tells them, this land, today you are a foreigner, you are only passing by, you're a foreigner, it does not belong to you, but one day I will give you this land. You will be the owner of this land. And you must understand the kind of blessing that God is giving to Isaac. God is not simply giving to Isaac some blessings. God is giving to Isaac a wholesome blessing. He said, why wholesome? I think I mentioned this before. When God gives them a piece of land with population, with a critical mass, you can do business, earn money, can trade with other countries. And then with a piece of land and where it's well protected well, then the security, people will, other countries will come do business with you. So when God says, I give you population and lands, God is basically telling Isaac, I will bless you in a very wholesome way. I will bless this nation. Don't say this nation because a powerful nation. The nation of America. No. A powerful nation. That's the meaning of bless you with lands and with people. And not only that, America is a great nation because America, many other countries are blessed. So Isaac will be a blessing to all nations. Just like today's America like that. Hopefully America will continue to be like that. So all nations on earth will be blessed by you. Isaac will become a source of blessing. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. In other words, Isaac chose to believe God. Instead of going to Egypt to avoid famine, to survive, Isaac chose to stay in the land of famine, in the promised land, in the land of the Philistines. So Isaac chose to believe God, even though there was still famine. Just because God said, I will bless you, does it mean that tomorrow the famine is no more? No, the famine is still there. The problems are still there. You look around, wow, brown color, dry ground. It's still there. The famine is still there. But Isaac chose to believe God, even though the problem was not solved yet. And that's called faith. And faith pleases God. And faith pleases God. You may not be very clever, may not be very rich, may not be very strong and healthy, but if you have faith, you'll be a very special person in the eyes of God. But does it work or not? Can buy rice to eat or not? You mean if I have faith, heaven rained down bread and then heaven rained down rice? I still survive. You mean pastor is going to feed me just because I obey God's word? Pastor also doesn't have money. So, can I survive or not? Faith can bring me food. So, does it work? Does faith work? With that, we look at the passage we're studying today, verses 12 to 33. I'll finish with the background. Let's look at the text proper. Verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. So although there was famine, Isaac prospered. Not only did he prosper, he really prospered because God blessed him 100-fold and became not wealthy, but very wealthy. Dear brothers and sisters and not dear Christians, let me say one thing, and you must remember this lesson. God honors those who have faith in him. You respect God, you trust God. You don't put yourself, don't be so concerned about, we naturally will be concerned about our needs, our family needs, my health, my future, etc., etc. But when God tells you to do something, you put him first in your life. You trust him. And God honors those who obey him. In other words, you will survive. So does faith work? Of course it works. You will survive. So God showed grace to Isaac. Isaac prospered 100-fold, even though there was famine. You will survive, dear friends. You will survive. Verse 14. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." Things like that, when you are rich, people begin to envy you. So when people envy you, the Philistines and Abimelech, the king, they begin to give problems. So what did they do? The Philistines, the wells that were dug up by his father, Philistines, the Philistines stop it up, filling them with earth. And Abimelech and the Philistines, the citizens, and Abimelech, the king, they also told Isaac, go away from us. And these people threaten their survival, their enemies. So Isaac is faced with several problems. One, people. Two, substance. People, meaning the enemies, like here, Philistines and Abimelech, the king. And substance, they need water. So, first of all, the enemies threaten their survival. So how did Isaac respond? How did Isaac respond? Now, I want you to note how Isaac responded. And it's amazing, you see how Isaac responded. Verse 17. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac, quite definitely, is not as powerful as Abimelech and the Philistines because they are more in number. But Isaac is no small person. He's quite a man, because if you remember the account about Abraham, Abraham had so many people. When Lot, his nephew, was taken away by enemies, Lot actually summoned several hundred of his soldiers, to rescue Lot from the kings, from the reigning kings, and fought the battle and won the battle. So Isaac is no small fry. So Isaac actually has the military ability to fight the Philistines or to create trouble. He may not create a war, but he can show resistance and protect his turf, protect his interests. But Isaac chose not to do that. And what did Isaac do? Isaac moved away. Isaac gave way. He could have fought. He could have quarreled about it or provide some resistance and refuse to budge. But Isaac gave way. And this is a Christian. Christians are like that. We don't fight. People want, I try to provide my turf, but I will give way. And our Lord Jesus Christ promises us this: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, when you give way, you don't be afraid. If you obey the Lord, you give way, you obey the Lord, you give in, the Lord will protect your interests for you. The Lord intervene. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And that's what Isaac did. Isaac gave way. But need water, what? What, you mean I give way and then suddenly the rain comes down, is it? No, I still need water. I still need to survive. So how? I still need water. So what did Isaac do? Verse 17. So Isaac moved away from there and then came in the valley of Gerar where he settled. Verse 18. Isaac reopened the wells that were dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave the same names his father had given them. So what did Isaac do? Isaac reopened the wells that were stopped up by the enemies. So Isaac dig. You need water, right? What you do? Dig for water. Be practical. Don't wait for things to happen. Things won't happen. You must move. So Isaac dug for water. Dig wells for water. And this is such an important principle in life. This is such a critical principle in life. There is never a time when you have more time. Even when you are old, you find that there are many things to do. There's never a time that you have less commitments. It won't happen in this life. When you have less commitments, your health is no good. So the energy level is also reduced. Your memory ability also reduced. There will always be limitations in life. So some people say, oh, wait till I this or that, then I this and that, or I serve God or whatever. It won't happen. Life is never free. The day you have nothing to do is the day you die. So there will be problems in life. So when you face problems in life, what must you do? Be practical. Work. You still have to go to work. You say, I feel very depressed. I want to get cooped up in my house. I know. There are physiological problems. I'm underestimating the level of difficulty. But I'm saying that what I'm trying to say is that there will be difficulties in life, but you still have to live life. You have time to go to work, must wake up, brush your teeth, and go to work. Time to go through. You still have to go to school. If you say, today I'm not in the mood, today I feel very depressed, or today I want and this, you still have to move out of your comfort zone and do your necessary responsibilities. Go to school, go to work, earn a living. And on Sunday belongs to God. Must come to church. 7 days a week of your life, one day God says, give it to me. 6 days are yours to use. And then the seventh day also you want to rob from God. Hey, I tell you something. God is sometimes has a lot of humor. Bad humor. When you try to take things away from God, God, some people say, don't bargain, never bargain with a contractor. You bargain this and that, the contractor has a way to get the money back. He'll cut this and that. And then, before you realize it, he has gotten his money back. You don't bargain with God, no. When God, 7 days, God says one day is mine, you better give it to him. Because if you don't, sometimes God will invert it. Say, oh, you prefer 6 days are mine, one day is yours. Now he gives you 6 days, right? And one day is his, right? Or you prefer to invert it. He can do that, no? He has a lot of ways. He has a lot of tricks on his sleeves, he cannot win God. He has a lot of tricks on his sleeves. You can never win God. So God says 7 days, one day is mine. Give it to God. It belongs to God. On Sundays, you must come to church to worship the Lord, whether you like it or not, whether you're in mood or no mood. I hold very high regards for some people. But they still come to church despite challenges in life. And you must serve God. You must serve God. You remember that you promised at the beginning of the year that you will serve the Lord from the day 1 to day 365? You must serve the Lord. Because you promised the Lord. So when it's time for you to serve the Lord, is your on the duty roster, you must serve God. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you are in the mood or no mood, must you go to church, serve the Lord, worship the Lord. And housework. Everybody must keep their house neat and tidy. Sometimes when I enter a house that is very messy, I don't know when a cockroach will come out. So I tread very carefully. Cannot lah, right? You must keep your house clean, neat and tidy. So someone properly says, cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. If you are godly, you'll be clean also. And so must do housework, must bathe. Whether you like it or not, life must go on as usual. And so this principle of life is so important. It's so critical. Because when you are faced with crisis, problems in life, there's already a pit, a hole, in your life. Then if you neglect the usual duties, right, you're going to dig another hole. Then very soon, another hole. Then sooner you have many holes that you cannot fill anymore. And then your world collapse. So it's so critical that when you are faced with challenges, that you must live life as usual. You must do your responsibility to human beings, to your boss, to your work, to your school, to your homework. And you must also do your responsibilities to God, because you need God to live. And that's what Isaac did. Verse 19. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "It's mine, it's mine, it's mine." These people are like that, huh? After you dig a well, and digging a well is really hard work, and then they say that the water belongs to them. The water is ours. So he named the well Isaac because they disputed with him. So how? Dig lah. 21, then they dug another well. But again, they quarreled over that one also, and he named it Sitna. So he quarreled. What did he do? But he gave way. He didn't quarrel. He didn't fight. He had the military strength and might to fight. But he chose not to fight. He gave way. This is a Christian. Very easy to recognize a Christian. A quarrelsome and not a quarrelsome person. Immediately you know who's a Christian. Very easy to recognize a Christian. And when they dug another well, again they claim that it's his, it's theirs, and they quarrel. And Isaac gave way again. But give way until how long? It's very discouraging. How long am I going to endure these setbacks? I will collapse from my world. My dear Christians, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, your Father in heaven is very kind. He knows when you cannot take it anymore. When you cannot take it anymore, he'll drop pleasant surprises here and there. It has been very true in my life. When sometimes when I so discouraged in life, sometimes God just drops pleasant surprises, no? I don't deserve it. I know deep in my heart I don't deserve it. But God is very gracious. Although I don't deserve it, but God drops pleasant surprises in your life, in my life, so that we can press on with life. This is our God. He's not only God, no? He's our Father. A father, when he sees a child, although the child is sometimes the father canes and disciplines, but after a little while, the father will stop caning. The father says, keep on caning, I feel very sad. And then the father will use other means to encourage the child and drop pleasant surprises. This is our Heavenly Father. Our kind father, our kind mother, alma mater, our kind mother. So, just when Isaac cannot take it anymore, you see what God does for him? Verse 22, he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. And he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. Just when they thought that the world is going to snap, the Lord gave him a well where no one quarreled with them over it. So, hey, encouraging, huh? Why? And Isaac recognizes it, you see, because the Lord has given it to us. The Lord has given us, the Lord is going to flourish us. Just when you thought that you cannot take it anymore, the Lord drops a pleasant surprise, hey, the sky is bright again. That's what the Lord always does. Our Father is very kind, very loving, very kind. Always give chance. God knows our limits, and He will provide us timely help when we need it. And this was an incident that happened before Christ came, about 2,000 years, 2,000 BC. And 2,000 years later, in the New Testament, Paul said the same thing. So it's a principle, it's an unchanging principle in God. It happened several thousand years earlier, and it still happens many years later in Paul's time. And Paul said this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Can memorize it? Anybody? Want to try? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And this is our God. Your world won't collapse. I tell you, Christians' world will never collapse. When you thought that the world, this boat is going to sink, your boat won't sink because Jesus is in the boat. Jesus in the boat, how to sink? Not possible. Jesus is in your life. Your life won't collapse. You think that it's going to collapse, but it won't. Verse 23. So just when Isaac thought that he couldn't take it anymore, the Lord gave him a well that no one quarreled with him over it. Over which no one quarreled. Verse 23. From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham, Do not be afraid, for I am with you, I will bless you, and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Not only did God give him a well, a good well, also God also spoke to him personally that night. God spoke to him. God's word ministered to him. And that's the reason why, dear Christians, when you are in difficult times, you must read your Bible. Sometimes I'll be thinking like that, life is so difficult. I think God doesn't love me. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like reading the Bible. That's the last thing to do. When times are difficult, it's so important for you to pray, for you to come to church, to seek the Lord's favor, for you to read the Bible. You must keep your quiet time. Do you have a regular habit of keeping your quiet time? You must know. Most when you keep your quiet time and you read your Bible daily, the Lord will speak to you when the Lord will definitely speak to you, you know. Sometimes the Lord will choose to speak to your immediate problem. The problem you're facing that day and it's crushing you, the Lord will speak to you. Sometimes the Lord, although you're facing a problem, but sometimes the Lord chooses not to speak to you, not to address that problem. And he speaks, tells you other things. See why? When I read Bible and then when I need a word of encouragement in this aspect, and then the Lord doesn't speak to me, you know. Why? Today's quiet time is not relevant. Who said that? Who said so? We are like that. Today's quiet time is not not fruitful. Because you have a need that seemingly that this passage that you read did not address your problems. So you think that quiet time is fruitless. It's not true, no? Because sometimes the Lord, if necessary, the Lord will address your immediate problem. But sometimes the Lord teaches us other things that's not related to the problems we are facing. Why, you know? Because it's a more important issue. Perhaps that you encounter in a month that you need time to prepare, to think, to mull over, to think through. So the Lord instead tells you other things, not because he's not concerned about your present problem, but because this is a more pressing, more pressing issue. Important issue. So, dear brothers and sisters, dear Christians, the Lord assures us, comforts us with his word. That's the reason why you must read your Bible. It is a good habit for you to read through the Bible. For me, I don't read through the whole Bible every year, but I've read through the Bible many times. But I make it a point to read through my systematic theology book, 1,000 pages, regularly, maybe over 2 years. I also make it a point to read through the whole Bible in 2 years, regularly. So, you must read your Bible. I read not because I'm a pastor, no, because I'm a Christian. I read the Bible not because I'm a pastor, no, but because I'm a Christian. I need God. So, you must read the Bible because when you face crisis, that's how the Lord comforts you. So read the Bible. And the Lord comforted Isaac that day. Let's see how the Lord comforts Isaac. He says, do not be afraid. This word is so comforting. He said, don't fear. You wake up in the middle of the night, boom, the lightning strikes when you're a little child. And then your mother comes over you and says, don't be afraid. When your mother says, don't be afraid, why is there reason for you not to be afraid? Because you know that your mother is capable of taking you through safely through the night. Your mother is very capable. That's why this don't be afraid is very comforting, right? Don't fear. I'm with you. And he said, that's what he said. Don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm with you. And what do you mean by I'm with you? I'm with you means when you encounter problems at work, God is there with you. You're not alone. When you need wisdom to solve this problem, God will give you the necessary wisdom to solve that problem. When you face a life danger on the roads, God is with you means what? No, that life danger, God knows how to address it for you. That's the meaning of I am with you in every circumstances of your life. That's the meaning of I am with you. So don't be afraid. And we have a reason not to be afraid because we are not alone. God is with us in our undertakings. And how will God be with us? God will bless us, give us the best things of life. And And how will God bless Isaac? As I've said just now, God will give him a land and many descendants, population. So that they not only live, they live very well because of a critical mass. Why is this word of comfort very comforting? It says here it's comforting because God assures him, do not be afraid, I'm with you, I will bless you, and I will enable you to live well, there'll be life, you won't die, I'll give descendants. But why is this promise so sure? This is not only a promise, it's a very sure promise. It's unconditional. Let me explain. You notice that this assurance starts with by saying what Abraham and ends by talking about Abraham, right? You notice that? I am the God of your father Abraham, blah, 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 for the sake of my servant Abraham, right? So, and then in between is the blessing. So the blessing starts with Abraham, ends with Abraham, and in between the hamburger meat, the meat is the blessing. In other words, this blessing is surrounded by Abraham. If I use a picture, this blessing is surrounded by Abraham. No? Top Abraham, bottom Abraham. So this makes the blessing very special. Why? Now, if you understand the theology of the Old Testament, if you study the Old Testament, you will understand this. You don't need to study theology, but you will if you read the Bible, you know this. God, this Abrahamic promise, this promise to Abraham was very important. Abraham was the father, the ancestor of Israel. He's the father of Isaac. So Abraham is a very important figure. Why? Because he obeyed God by faith. As a result, God says, I will bless you and your descendants because of you. Let me say that again. Because Abraham obeyed God, had faith in God, as a result, God told Abraham this, from now onwards, because of what you did, of your faith, I will not only bless you, I will bless your descendants forever to eternity. And that promise finally came through Jesus Christ. So Abraham made the promise become from conditional to become unconditional because of his faith. So when he says, I will bless you because of your father Abraham, for the sake of my father, of my servant Abraham, it means what? No? This promise that I will, do not be afraid, I'll bless you, I'm with you, I'll give you my descendants, is unconditional. It's a sure blessing. Even though, and Christians, we need that, Christians, we all sin also, we falter here and there. Our life is up and down. But although our life is up and down, we falter here and there, we make mistakes here and there, but we thank God, life goes on, because God guarantees it. That's the reason why Christians will never lose our salvation. That's the reason why, although we falter here and there, we sin here and there, but you will always remain in salvation. You will never do anything that will cause you to upset your salvation, lose your faith. It will never happen. Why? Because it's unconditional. God guarantees it. How we thank God. Once saved, always saved. You're forever loved by God, and God will never give up on you. It's a sure blessing. That's the meaning of, for the sake of my father Abraham. So Isaac is not only blessed, he's assured of this blessing. And Isaac, by the way, often made mistakes. Even told lies and then did many nonsense things. And in his later years in life, he supposed to bless Jacob, he wants to bless Esau. He made a lot of mistakes, But yet, Isaac was a blessed man. Why? Because of his father Abraham. It was an unconditional sure blessing. And how did Isaac respond when God blessed him? When God assured him? When God gave him a well and God assured him? Isaac responded. Verse 25, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Now, does Isaac worship God? Isaac was grateful to God. Dear Christians, when God is good to you, don't abuse the blessings that God has given you. You must remember to be grateful, must thank God. When you are blessed by God, it should not cause you to indulge in your self-pleasure. No? It should cause you to serve God more. Has God been good to you? I'm sure he has been good to you. There are challenges in life here and there. But today, you are here worshipping God with a joyful heart, with a peaceful heart. It tells you something, doesn't it? God has watched over you and your family. You must be grateful to God. And above all, God has given you the precious gift of eternal life. You won't go to hell anymore. There is nothing more precious than eternal life. So Isaac responded how? He was grateful to God. And when he responds to God like that, gratitude to God, God blesses us even more. And that's what happened. When you are grateful to God, God is a very kind father. Hey, this child says thank you, no? He's very grateful, no? He'll be very happy with you. And when God is happy with you, what will God do to you? God will bless you even more. And that's what God did for Isaac. There were more blessings came. Let's look at what happened. Isaac built an altar and called the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. So the question is, will they find water? So the way the author Moses wrote this passage is very interesting. Yeah? So his servants dug a well. But the question is, got water or not? The question, he didn't answer the question. Instead, verse 26 talks about another incident that came along the way. It means they dug a well, got water or not? No answer. Then the author talks about another incident that happened meanwhile. Verse 26. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, why have you come to me since you were hostile to me and sent me away? How come you come to me for what? You quarrel with me and then you kick me away, what? Why come see me for what? Verse 28, he answered, hey, you know why I come to you? We clearly saw the Lord was with you, so we said, well, I better make an agreement with this man, man. He's going to become a powerful man. There ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you, a peace treaty, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you, is it? Half true, huh? They didn't harm you. They made life difficult for Isaac. Okay, Isaac took it. We did not harm you, but always treated you well, is it? Again, half true, huh? But Isaac just took it. We treated you well and sent you away peacefully. And now you are blessed by the Lord. So they say, let us make a peace treaty of peace. And you promise that I will not harm you, just as I will not harm you. Promise that you will not harm us and my descendants. So in other words, they were afraid of Isaac. So let me just recall. So they dug a well, right? Got water or not? The question remains unanswered. Meanwhile, he talks about this treaty that is signed between Isaac and his enemies. Verse 30, Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. There was a peace treaty. So they dug a well, got water or not? Unanswered. But meanwhile, an incident happened. The enemies are afraid of Isaac. They come to sign a peace treaty. Well, enemies are afraid of us, no? These people who are hostile to us, who try to cut away our water supply, now they come and make peace with us, no? They are afraid of us, no? Wow. It's something, isn't it? It's true, So the Proverbs 16:7 says, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Amazing, When your relationship with God is right, even your enemies, will come and make friends with you, will be afraid of you. And this is true, no? Many Christians can say that. Walk right with God. Put God first in your life. Things like a jigsaw puzzle will fall into place. You take God out of the equation. You begin to be overly worried and concerned about your own personal needs, personal life. You find that things will go wrong. Put God first in your life. Remember what I said just now? They dug a well. Hey, got water or not? Unanswered, right? Then comes this incident that the enemies make peace with Isaac. And then now, in verse 2, it reads, that day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well. They dug, they said, we found water. He called it Sheba, and to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. So they found water. You know what's the meaning of this passage? They dug a well, got water or not? Unanswered. But a pleasant incident happened. The enemies came to make peace with them. And then after that, immediately it says, we found water. You know what it's trying to say? It's a double blessing. I like this Chinese word, shuang xi. Xi means joy. So it's a double joy. Double joy. You know what this double judgment teach you? The author purposely left the answer unanswered. Hey, got water or not? Unanswered. And then first give the first joy. And then another pleasant surprise comes in. He's trying to tell you what? Double blessing. Why? Because when you don't give up on God, you trust God. Even when it seems impossible, God will give you a double happiness to tell you, I reward you for your faith. Because you have faith in me. I remember, I reward you one time, I reward you a second time. It's a double happiness. God rewards faith. Although it seems so difficult, but if you press on and trust God, the Lord will reward your faith. So we have found water. Hey, how good is water? Is the water? We found water. Right? How good is water? And water is very good. Very good water. Why? This water of the well is called Bathsheba. And what's Bathsheba? Bathsheba means oath. But this oath, what oath? Promise, in other words. Promise. What promise? This oath, as we have read just now, first, is the promise that Abimelech, their enemies, will not hurt Isaac anymore. This oath, this promise, has another promise, that God will bless Isaac with land, with descendants, will bless Isaac. It's a double blessing. This Bathsheba, this well, is a very special water. Why? It represents double blessing. The enemy signed a peace treaty with him, and they found water to survive. It's a double blessing. Why? Because of their faith. So it's a very good water. Not only is it a very good water, because it has solid promises. This well, to this day, is still there. You know what I'm trying to say? You say, you don't believe this incident. This isn't really happened. I tell you, you take MRT from this place to this place. After that, you take a bus, three bus stops, and then you turn to your right, walk 10 meters. You see the well there. It's still there. Been there for several hundred years. It's still there. There's evidence of God's blessing for those who press on with faith. There's evidence. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, life is full of challenges. And sometimes to survive, we might choose to leave the promised land, to depart from God's ways and use simple methods to solve problems. Don't. Because God will ensure you survive if only you trust Him. Meanwhile, what must you do? But you must still live, right? So what must you do? To those who oppose you, give way, be gentle. And you must continue to live life normally. Be responsible in your daily duties, not only to people, to God. Don't forget God. Don't take God out of your equation. To God and to people. And when you are faced with problems, right? God give us a brain, right? Be creative. Be creative. Use your creativity and be practical in solving problems. And can I take the stress? God will ensure that you can take the stress. Your world won't collapse. Because in small ways or big ways, God will just drop pleasant surprises just to enable you to press on. And when the time is right, God will resolve your problems. God may not take away the problems, but God will resolve your problem. God will provide a solution. He may not take away the problem, but He will provide a solution for your problem so that you are happy. I want to speak to our friends who are not Christians. Dear friends, life is very challenging, but the Bible promises us this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But this word saved does not refer only to that God will solve our problems in life. God will, in His own ways, in His own method. God will. But this be saved refers especially to be saved eternally from hell, from sin, from Satan, salvation. Today, if you are not Christian, I urge you, come and accept Jesus as your Savior. Come and believe in the Lord. Life is very difficult, but you do not need to live life alone. Come and trust Jesus as your Savior. Then He does not only enable you to live through life, He guarantees you and gives you eternal life. The promise of heaven, there's nothing more precious than eternal. What's the point of earning a lot of money and then after that you die in hell? What's the advantage? You are blessed for 100 years. Then for a billion and billion and eternity, you are suffering and tormented in hell because of your sin. Don't. Today, I urge you, come and repent of your turn away from your sin. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Then God will forgive you your sins and wash over your sins. And you can enjoy the precious gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Before I start praying, as we have heard in God's word, it's very natural, because we are human beings, because of our weaknesses, whether you are an old Christian, a Christian for many years, or a young Christian, whether you are a pastor or not, we are afraid of challenges in life. Challenges can break us down. And sometimes, because in order to survive, you may have chosen a way, a sinful way, a way that does not please the Lord to solve your problems. Are you doing that? Now, if you are doing that, first, let me assure you that the Lord understands our weaknesses. The Lord does not forget that we are made of dust, that we falter and we fall easily. The Lord knows. But that does not mean that you should go on like that. Today, the Lord's word assures us, continue to stay in the promised land. Continue to walk with the Lord. Honor the Lord. Put the Lord first in your life. He will work things out for you. Now, if you have offended the Lord, I urge you now to confess your sin to God and ask the Lord to give you faith to continue to honor Him. I urge you to spend a little bit of time to pray for yourself. Our Father in heaven, we remember, I know you know that we are made of dust. We falter and sin and fall easily. And we are very forgetful people. We do not remember the goodness you have shown us. We hover on ingratitude. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, we also want to thank you that you know that we are frail people and you have made many, many provisions to help us along the way. Lord, we pray for ourselves that you will give us faith in you to be faithful, to remain faithful, to stay faithful even in hard times, to trust that you will bless us. And indeed, Lord, we acknowledge that we have been blessed. We pray that you give us faith to press on so that we can be blessed by you in greater measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.